Today is a very important day for all mothers. You know why it's so important? Because of your devotion to your children. Mothers usually spend more time with the children than the father. And therefore, the hard work you have spent with your children pays. Whatsoever is sown, there shall you reap. So I would say, thank God for mothers, all of you, good mothers, and your children will love you, will honor you. Good Mother's Day. Today I'm not going to preach about mothers. I'm following the series of the message which I'm preaching at this pulpit from the Gospel of John. And today we come to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 is the midpoint of John's Gospel. It presents the peak of Jesus' ministry. Prior to this chapter, Jesus had presented himself as life giver to various people. For Nicodemus, he presented himself as the gift of eternal life. For the Samaritan woman, he presented himself as the water of life, in John chapter 4. For the impotent man, the weak man, he presented himself as a quickening life, John chapter 5. For the hungry multitude, the bread of life. For the believers in Jerusalem, celebrate the tabernacle's celebration, feast, the rivers of life. For the blind man, the light of life, chapter 9. For the sheep, for you and I, he presented himself as the abundant life, chapter 10. And now, in this chapter, Jesus gives life to a man named, what is that? Lazarus, who was dead. In this chapter, Jesus' life is shown to be the true life that conquers death. How did he conquer death? He himself would experience death. And then he would conquer death because death could not subdue him. Why? Why death could not subdue the Lord Jesus Christ? What were the reasons? And this had to do with theology. First of all, we know that he is the eternal God and also the creator of the whole universe. He's the source of life. He's the source of life. And he has the authority of life. He has the authority to give life to whosoever he will. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ said in this chapter, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Lazarus was dead, and he raised him from the dead. It shows his authority over life. Now you get the picture of why Jesus was able to say such words. The resurrection of Lazarus is the greatest miraculous sign in the Gospel of John. It is a sign of Jesus' ultimate life-giving power and also a prefiguring of Jesus' resurrection to come. It is the fitting climax to all the previous signs. Chapter 2, 4, 5, 6, 9, and 11. This miracle is done. in the presence of many people living nearby Jerusalem. It aroused the multitude's excitement about Jesus and caused them to give him an enthusiastic welcome when he made his triumphant entry to Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to touch a little bit on the technical part of this passage. The Synoptic Gospel, that is the Synoptic Gospel, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these three Gospels, did not include the account of the raising of Lazarus. Therefore, they fail to provide the background information of the triumphal entry. It seems Jesus entered into Jerusalem and suddenly, out of nowhere, the multitude came holding palm tree leaves and welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is something missing that's not being mentioned in their gospel. Then we ask, why did the Synoptic Gospel writers not include the accounts of Lazarus' resurrection? Answer, they purposely omitted any mention of Lazarus because the Jewish leader had conspired to kill him. You can find John chapter 12, verse 10. They omitted the account in order to protect Lazarus from being killed. For that particular reason, they left this event out of the gospel. Lazarus was living during the AD 50 to 70, during this period. And by the time John wrote his gospel in AD 85, or Lazarus must have died. So John had the freedom to record these important events. And it's so significant to Jesus' ministry and so critical to provide a background to the triumphant entry of Christ to Jerusalem. With this background, you understand why so many people came to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ out of nowhere. So it's very important. Now let us go into the context of John chapter 11 concerning the raising of Lazarus. Let me give you some background before I start this. After the final confrontation in the temple, Jesus went to the wilderness of Jordan on the eastern side. The river of Jordan, when the Bible mentioned north, western, and eastern side, what is the difference? Western, the river is the dividing line. Western side is towards Mediterranean Sea, okay? The eastern side is more to the desert area. So these are two divisions. And so Jesus went there. The Lord Jesus Christ went there. To carry on his ministry. Many people in this region had heard of John the Baptist preaching a few years ago, proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. His words had left a deep impression on them, and many had properly prepared themselves for the coming Messiah. As a result, when Jesus came to that region to do his work, his ministry was fruitful. Many believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, verse 40 tells us that. So we know John the Baptist had prepared the groundwork very well for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus came, he performed many miracles and spoke the words of God. As a result, many people came to accept him as the Messiah. When Jesus was in Perea, something happened in the home of Mary and Martha in Bethany. John chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. All right, this is what it says. Now a certain man was sick. Who was this man? This man was named Lazarus of Bethany, a town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was sick. So we know which Mary. There are many Marys in the Bible. There are many John, there are many James, there are many Peters. So they have to mention the name. There are many Jesus, many people call Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth is a special one. Because in that town, only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the Bible mentioned the town name, that means there are many Marys in that particular area. Of all Jesus' acquaintance, none were as close to him as Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were his intimate friends who provide him with top-class hospitality on every of his visits to Jerusalem. Mary loved to sit near the Lord Jesus Christ to hear his teaching. Martha was just as devoted, as good as Mary, but she was always busy catering for Jesus' physical needs. So both are good. Both are good. Each one has different gifts, different interests. Lazarus seems to be the youngest brother and have no responsibility in the family. So we have nothing to say about him. Of all of them were very near to Jesus. They knew that Jesus loved them very much. Now, things had changed, and the household was in disarray because Lazarus was critically ill. It appeared that he could die at any time. And so the two sisters were very concerned about his brother, their brother, and sent a note to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you are writing a note to the Lord Jesus Christ in such a condition, all right, how will you word it? How will you write? How will you write? You will write that what you are praying, right? You talk to the Lord Jesus Christ, pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, like what you do. Maybe you have a lot of things to tell Jesus concerning this matter. John chapter 11, verse 3 tells us something about what the sister wrote. 11, verse 3. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. How many words? 8 words. Very short. 8 words. The message was very brief, very urgent, and very personal. Lord, the one you love is sick. In the modern English, 7 words, even shorter. 7 words only. Amazing. It was so different from the way we pray. Isn't it? Very different. They did not tell Jesus what to do. They did not tell Jesus to hurry and to return to the bedside to their brothers or beg him to offer a prayer to heal their brother. They did not say all these things at all. They knew Jesus loved Lazarus and that he would do what was best. They were saying, your good friend whom you love is sick. But Jesus answered in John chapter 11 verse 4, give us a hint of what was going to happen to Lazarus. All right, look at chapter 11 verse 4. Here it says, when Jesus heard that he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son might be glorified. In other words, death would not be the end of his life now. He would not die. He died, but it's not die forever, right? He's dead in that sense. Something very unusual was about to happen, and it would bring glory to God. That is, Christ was going to use this situation to do something to bring glory to God. That's the whole gist of what Jesus is saying in this verse. The message of the heart of this message is found in John chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. Now, verse 5 and 6, the Lord Jesus Christ says something. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. I want you to notice the word love. In these two verses, there are different kind of love, different degrees of love. The word love in verse 5, spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, is different from the word the two sisters wrote to him. The word in verse 5 is agape, the highest form of love. The divine love. The two sisters thought that Christ loved Lazarus like that of friendship love. All right, verse 3 is friendship love, common friend, the kind of love. But Jesus replied that his love for Lazarus was not a common love, was a divine love. Was much more than a friendship one. It was agape love. A love that was so great and so deep that nothing can separate him from his love, even his death. So Jesus loved Lazarus with an endless love. It is a divine love, it is endless love. Knowing this, we might expect the Bible to say, Jesus, upon hearing that Lazarus was sick, went to find a horse and rode as far as possible as he could to see Lazarus, right? Because he loved Lazarus so much, he should be hurry coming back and do something. That is what we all expected him to do. That is what many people would want him to do. To tell him what he should do in such situation. But This is not what our text says. In verse 6, our text says, when he heard thereof, when he had heard thereof, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He purposely delayed 2 days. He loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus very much that he stayed on in the same place for 2 more days, as if that nothing had happened. It does not seem right from the human point of view, from the human perspective. If you love a person so much, when he hears something like that, what will you do? Oh, we will expect him to act as far as possible, right? As far as possible. Here, our Lord's action was to stay for 2 more days in the same place. It's totally a reverse. From human perspective, it appeared to us that even though we are God's children and we love him very much, we serve him to the best of our ability and give him as much as we can afford. When we are in need, it sometimes seems that he does not care about us. He is far, far away from our cry. At times, humanly speaking, our circumstances seem to tell us that this is the only interpretation. God doesn't care about us. If he cares about us, where is he when I'm in great need? And this is what many people think. Even strong Christians think that way. In this case, I think of a case that had this problem. I think of Joseph being sold by his brother into slavery, ended up as a slave in the Potiphar's household in Egypt. Through his diligent integrity and devotion, he rose to the top in charge of Potiphar's household. He fell because he would not compromise himself with Mrs. Potiphar to have physical relationship with her for that particular reason. As a result, what happened? He had done nothing wrong. He ended up in an Egyptian prison. He was punished for doing what he was right. Have you gone through that kind of cases? Joseph was in debt. He was in prison for quite some time, you know. He was there. It would appear that God has forsaken him. Joseph had honored God as a young man, since he was young. But it seems that God did not care for him at all, especially in times where he needed him most. Beloved, it is so easy to blame God for our difficult circumstances and troubles in life. Very easy. As if God is the source of our problem. We blame him for not caring for us, or for not helping us when we really needed him. We wonder if God really cares for us. From a human point of view, there are times when it is difficult to keep on believing in the goodness of God. Isn't that true? But John chapter 11 elevates our perspective. It explains to us that no matter what or how it may appear, these unexpected delays are delays of love. That is what our text says. Verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. If God is all-powerful, He can do anything according to His purpose and plan. Right? We know that He knows all things. He knows all the past. He knows the present. And He also knows the future of all of us, or anything that happened in this world. He knows every details of our life. When a sparrow falls to the ground, He knows. He knows how many hairs there are on our head. He knows the number we do not know, and even we don't care. Not important at all, but to God, everything is important. He knows everything. He knows our pride, our trouble, our problems, and He cares for us. How can we come to understand God's love and really believe it despite our crisis? How can we understand all these things? First, we must recognize that we can never comprehend His working in their completeness. When delays and hardship come to us, we cannot expect to know all the details, all the answers, and all the reasons. If we spend our time keep asking why this, why that, we would be using our time very unprofitably. You know why? Because we can never understand the full thing, everything. We can never understand. There are many things we still do not know. Secondly, the general principle from John chapter 11 is this. Christ delayed His coming to His faithful and loving followers in Bethany in order to strengthen their faith and love. For 2 days, the Lord Jesus Christ calmly went about doing His work in Perea. He was far away from His loved ones. Perhaps at this time, His sisters, Mary and Martha, while ministering to the sick brother, Lazarus, would occasionally walk out of the house to see whether the Lord Jesus Christ had come. They'll go out, I don't know how many times, waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to arrive. After 2 days, the Lord decided to visit Mary and Martha. What happened after that? By now, Lazarus was dead. Dead. Already decaying. His sister's cry could be heard by the neighbors living around them. And what happened when the neighbor heard about the crying noise, the weeping noise? They all will come. No, they all will come. They will come and see what happened. They will come to render their help. That's what kampung life, that's what the village life like that. They know each other, they will try to help one another. And so they came and they helped the sisters to prepare Lazarus for the burial. Then Mary and Martha led the procession to the graveyard. After the burial, the sister walked slowly home. On the fourth day, the ritual of mourning reached to its highest point. The Lord Jesus Christ arrived in Bethany. Everything was over. Everything was over. Jesus had arrived too late to save Lazarus. Isn't that true? Too late. He had been dead and was buried for 4 days. What could Jesus do? What could he do? Everything is over in the eyes of man. It is the end of hope to many people. Is it so? No, not at all. Beloved, Jesus has a purpose and a plan for each of our life. To Lazarus, he has a plan. To you, he has a plan. To me, he has another plan. Every plan is different. And therefore, the Lord acts differently. So what must we do? What must we do? We must keep on believing in him, that all things work out for good to them that love God. Trust in him, and the Lord will work out his plan by his wisdom, and in the end, we know what the Lord has in mind for each one of us. I will continue this same passage of scripture next week, to understand even more. I purposely break it. If I join in, it will be too long. I think it's a good time to stop here. So may the Lord help us as we understand, as we live each day of our life for the Lord, as we serve him. Sometimes trouble may come to us. And let us remember, God has his purpose and his plan in our life. May we continue to trust him. In closing, let us keep